Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Dana.
Our tech check has failed. We're not supposed to start this room till 8. Now we just get to hang out here for half an hour.
Oh, so like it won't allow you to do what you wanted to do.
Well, I was going to start a private room with you at 8, at 7:30. Is this room is not supposed to open until 8, but now we're here. So,
Oh, so should I do something different?
well, we can't now because our room is open.
Oh.
So I think we can just, like, if you want, you can exit out and come back and join at 8 a.m. at 8 if you want, or you can hang out here with me till 8. But I'll just kind of keep the room open, and as people come in, I'll tell them to come back at 8.
Well, if it's helpful, I'm happy to leave. I think I just misunderstood what I was to do.
Exactly, which is, that's the joy of Clubhouse and working with people that are not regularly on it. We have this all the time. Like, we have stuff like this happen all the time. It's absolutely not a big deal. But hi, everybody who's popping in. I'm just chatting with our guest, Nicole Lilly. But our room doesn't actually start till 8, so we're just kind of hanging out here until we have Haya, our co-mod, join us. And you know what?
Why
Nicole, I
don't I
think,
pop off? Why don't?
yeah, why don't you exit until 8, and I'll just put something in the chat and keep myself on silent. And then as people come in, they'll know that we're not going to start until 8.
Okay.
But I think we're all good to go. Anyways, I'm super looking forward to our conversation. And now you know, at 8 o'clock, just push on this room and you'll come right back in and you'll join me here.
Great.
Oh,
Perfect.
before
Thanks.
you go though, before you go, this is really important. I need you to touch on my profile and you'll see an option that says make moderator.
And do
So
that
can you,
now.
yeah, make me a moderator. Otherwise, when you leave, you'll close the room. Okay, cool. We're good.
All
Okay, so
right.
now you can go. Bye-bye. See you at 8.
Okay, see you
Bye.
soon. Bye.
Hi, everybody who's joining us. We tech glitched this morning and accidentally opened our room half an hour early. So I'm just going to keep myself on mute and I'll put a little notice in the chat so anybody else who joins us can hey Kenny, see you in half an hour. Anyone else who joins will see why we're being quiet until 8 a.m. and we will join our guest Nicole Lilly then. So you can hang out here or you can exit and come back, but we look forward to the conversation at 8. Talk to you later.
Hello.
Hello, 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 everybody. We're back. Hiya, let me make you a moderator here with us.
Thank you, thank you. Hello, Nicole. Nice to see you.
Hello, everybody who's joining us now, everybody who joined us earlier. One of the joys of being a live broadcast is sometimes we have technical glitches, but technical things happen. So we had our room open a bit early this morning, and we just popped off, and we're getting started for reals now. But thanks for everybody who was here. I think Kenny was actually the first one in right at 7:30, right when we accidentally opened the room. So I'm so happy to see everybody popping in this morning. And we're going to be diving into a deep conversation with Nicole. We're so happy to have you here with us, Nicole. And just before we do get started, and during the course of the room too, if you find the information, if you find the conversation interesting, and you think that there are other people who would be interested in hearing it as well, either across Clubhouse or within your own network, it's really easy to share the room. You just click on your bottom left. There is a little square with an arrow pointing out of it, icon at the bottom. And if you click on that, it gives you all sorts of different options for how to share the room. So you can share it within Clubhouse, or like broadly, or you can ping certain people in or post it, post the link to your social media, copy the link and share it out to people who might be interested in hearing the conversation. So I always find the more the merrier in these rooms. The deeper the conversations can be and the more different perspectives we have, which is, you know, really what this is all about, is sharing knowledge and sharing perspectives. And I think we're going to have some really interesting perspectives here today. So I'm very, very excited. Hello, Nicole, and welcome to our Clubhouse room today. All right. When you are ready to speak, you just push the little microphone button and you can come off of mute and join in the conversation. And I'm going to get things kicked off for us today, so we have lots of time to dive deep with Nicole. I've been convincing Nicole to join us here for a while because I always really appreciate her perspectives and have conversations with Nicole that kind of stretch my comfort zone sometimes and have me really look at different perspectives. And oh, there you are. You're off mic. Hi, Nicole.
Hi there. Thank you for sharing with me. And yes, I was just saying the same thing, that it's been a while coming for me to join this Clubhouse and this space and just really finding the right timing in my own being and, you know, and finding what it is that I actually feel most aligned with sharing here. And, you know, and of course, it's going to just be from my perspective. And I would say, yes, I have a little bit of a specialization in stretching comfort zones sometimes.
Yeah. It's a good stretch. I really, really appreciate it. So so let's kick off the room with our disclaimers, and then we can dive deep and hear your perspectives. Nicole, you have a couple of websites, and I'm just wondering if NicoleLilly.com or The Luminous Guide is the one that we mostly want to direct people to today, because I'd like to pin it at the top of the room before we get started.
Yeah, let's go with The Luminous Guide. That's the one that I'm just launching, and it's going to be the most relevant to what I'm speaking to. So
excellent. Okay, I'm going to pin that one right now, and then I'm going to kick us off with our disclaimers, and then we'll get the room officially started. Although I'm trying to add the link, and it's kind of in this not never-ending, like, dots across the bottom. Oh, there we go. Okay, it looks like it. Oh, no, it says, sorry, we couldn't. Okay, I'm going to get back to pinning the link a little bit later. I don't know, I was having a technical glitch there. So kicking it off, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Flourish Academy's Friday Room, Psychedelics 101, where we meet every Friday morning to talk about everything and anything psychedelics. And those of you who are regulars to this room will know that we alternate having guest speakers with having deep dive conversations with experts and specialists. And today we are really honored to have Nicole Lilly join us. And in this room, just to make sure that everybody's aware, we are not licensed medical or licensed mental health professionals. Nothing said in this room is meant to be medical, mental health, financial, business, or legal advice. We don't promote or advocate any illegal activity. In many places, taking and having psychedelics is still illegal, and we're here for education and harm reduction only. So this room doesn't tolerate any sourcing of substances. Please don't offer, please don't ask. The Flourish Academy is a safe space free of judgment. We're a community and a family that supports and encourages each other. And with that in mind, please do keep your shares respectful and also respectful of time. We are going to be inviting people up to join us on the stage after Nicole and Haya and I have a little bit of a chat first. And we try to get around to everybody on the who comes and joins us on the stage and still remain within our time frame of 90 minutes. So you'll see how many people are behind you and just be respectful that everybody wants a chance to share as well. And finally, before we begin, we would like to acknowledge the shoulders upon which we stand. We're grateful to Mother Earth, who holds us in her womb and gifts us with sacred plant medicines to expand our consciousness, to heal, and to grow. We're grateful to our ancestors, to our elders, to those who have come before us, and to the Indigenous people of all our lands who have, over time, shared the beauty and the mystery of these plants with us. And as I said, I'm really pleased today to finally host Nicole Lilly in our room. Nicole is an inspiration to me. We've known each other for a while now. We had the beautiful opportunity of actually she was leading a retreat. I was going to say participating together. We all kind of did participate together, but she was leading the retreat in Sundance in Utah after the Rising Consciousness conference back in March. Got to know each other at a deeper level, and I've been following Nicole's evolution since then, as she's really seems to have found her voice is what I would say, Nicole, in like you were saying right at the very beginning, of just knowing the direction that you want to go in and knowing what's important to you. Nicole is holds a master's in body psychotherapy from Naropa University. She's a licensed massage therapist, a somatic movement therapist, and the visionary and the creator of the Luminous Guide. So before I go any further into that, I'm going to try one more time to pin the link to the Luminous Guide, so you all know what I'm talking about when I say that she's the visionary and the creator. There we go. Okay. We are now have our pinned link to the Luminous Guide. The goal of the Luminous Guide is to educate, grow, and inspire individuals to claim embodied sovereignty and wholeness for themselves and their loved ones within an evolving and fractured world. The Luminous Guide offers apprenticeship in soul-centered, life-enhancing practices that expand your consciousness to reveal truth and awareness, your inner guiding light. And with that, Nicole, I want to officially welcome you to our room and just turn it over to you for a minute, just to tell us a little bit more about your journey. You know, how did you get to being the visionary and the creator of the Luminous Guide? What's been your path, and what's pushed you to get where you are now? And what exactly does the Luminous Guide offer? What can people expect from the Luminous Guide?
Hi, Dana. Thank you so much. So my journey has been ongoing for quite some time. I actually started out in the design and tech industry, doing user research, user experience, design, marketing, and things of this nature, which I'm really incredibly grateful for, because it's given me some really wonderful skill sets, including the ability to really hone in and create my own offerings. And so the Luminous Guide and the website and the platform for that is all pretty much me, and it's coming from not only my heart and my lessons over time, but also those sorts of skill sets that I've brought together. Ultimately, though, you know, that really wasn't the place for me to do my soul work. And so I entered the healing arts about 12 years ago, starting with yoga and shamanic practice and my first bodywork training I did in Bali, Indonesia. And so I spent some time in Southeast Asia, including in Thailand, where I first learned Thai massage. And it's really just so much of a different culture. And that time influenced me in such a way that it's really carried forward over time. In Thailand, for example, Thai massage is just something that's shared amongst the community members. People learn this method when they're very young. It's taught within the family. It's the first go-to when people become ill. And that there's just this really beautiful way that health and wellness and illness are treated differently, and that the culture really holds that. It's not really specialist. That's not to say that there aren't doctors, but even in the hospitals there, they really make that folk medicine primary. And then, of course, if you have a broken arm or something more serious, then you apply things. So that really influenced me at a pretty deep level. And all of that said, I have taken some more of the traditional ish sorts of path to my learning and education. Once I sort of traveled back from Southeast Asia, I really recognized how my life wasn't working for me. And so I was like, so I decided to dedicate my life to learning and practicing healing arts. And that's when I moved to Colorado. I attended Naropa University, which is also a very different feeling from most educational programs out there, in that there's a Buddhist lineage that really holds that. And there's a different perspective and a counterculture lineage that, like, you know, Kerouac and Ginsberg were people who were founding this school along with Chogyam Trungpa. And so that there's a certain lineage that holds the way that is, and the way that we would convene together to learn was very different. It's very ceremonial. In fact, we would sit in circle. And my program in body psychotherapy was very much about moving out of the mind space and moving into the space of the body and the heart. That part of us that really takes up 90% of who we are. And yet the field of mental health and psychology have historically not focused things in that direction. And I was with this group of 25 people for 3 years. And so we really developed a community and all of the shadowy things that come up with being with people for 3 years, doing deep psychological somatic work. So that's a lot of the base and the foundation that I come from. It's really kind of pretty countercultural in nature to start with. When I was in grad school, Colorado, which is where I live in Denver, had just legalized recreational cannabis. And so there were some things that were starting to, again, progressively move out of the culture here in Colorado, in the Boulder and Denver area. And that's actually, the MAPS studies were in phase one trials. They were underway. So public conversations were really starting to being had and looking at these medicines as therapeutic tools. I attended my first trip sitter training utilizing cannabis with medicinal mindfulness. And again, it was a very organic, community-centered style that was also very holistic. Many of those people also had attended Naropa, and so there was a very common language and a way that the community has really been able to just kind of unfold and largely manage itself in some beautiful ways. And that's not to say that there aren't issues. And so it was this this merging of myself on the other end of having a lot of really deeply embodied experiential education and who I was before, you know, in my youth, I experimented recreationally. I actually grew up foraging my own mushrooms as a young person. And so I've really seen a lot of ends of the spectrum. And last year, I actually decided that I wasn't going to renew my psychotherapist designation that I had in Colorado. It was a very clear message for me that I'm here to help heal the sacred hoop of the people, and that I'm not to work in boxes. And that was a very clear message that I had received. And so I've really been following that impulse and following that calling and that knowing over time, and relinquishing that for me has given me a lot more freedom within myself to explore who I am and what I believe and what I actually see and witness to be true in my sphere, and to create from that place. So I'll pause there because I just said a lot.
Yes, you did. But, you know, it gives us such a clear concept of where you're coming from, like this really unique background that merges together, you know, traditional training with really experiential and deeply embodied work, and then organic community-oriented learning. And, you know, it's a very unique perspective, I think, that you bring to the world, because you have all these different angles to you and different experiences and different education that you're bringing together that is very unique. And, you know, I really give kudos to you. I imagine that... Well, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was super easy for you, but I would imagine it would be a real kind of leap of faith into yourself to relinquish your credentials and to really, you know, accept that you are not meant to work in boxes, and to just trust your heart and soul rather than what society says. Did you find that difficult, or was it just like a, nope, this is smacky in the face, got to do it kind of thing?
Well, there's a funny piece to that. Even when I was in grad school, I would joke that to my peers, I was like, oh, you know, I'm probably going to get a license one day just to give it up. So there was some part of me, Dana, that always knew, just because I kind of know who I am, and I've never really actually been able to play in boxes very well. and I consider that a gift, because that's what allows me to create. But I also had to go through a process to really prove to myself in some ways for that to be true. I worked in a ketamine therapy clinic. I actually did some training, like some legit like clinical training, what are they even calling it? Psychedelic somatic therapy or something along these lines. It was a specific modality that this clinic was offering, doing sublingual ketamine and cannabis assisted therapy. And so I actually did that, and I worked in a clinical environment, and I've worked with, you know, people who were there in deeply depressed states and traumatized states. And what I found was, you know, that there was really an agenda there, quite frankly, to prove out this particular methodology and this particular modality, so that they could go on and teach others and create their own business model out of it. And so I really have been able to see behind the scenes in terms of, well, what is happening in the clinic, and where are the agendas there? Because there certainly are agendas. I had also been deeply influenced by a project that I was involved in, a research project. There's a group, a really awesome professional group in the Denver area called the NOAC Society. And I would say that they're probably the most reputable organization in Colorado involved with psychedelics. But I was involved with a qualitative research project with them that was sponsored by Colorado State University. And I had the opportunity to also interview a number of community practitioners who were working with psilocybin mushrooms, and to have discussions and to find out about people's backgrounds and what they were doing and what sort of training or mentorship that they had. And so that project was deeply influential for me as well. So by the time that I arrived to this mushroom journey where it became incredibly clear to me, I just happened to get notice that, oh, your psychotherapist designation is up for renewal next week. And so at that point for me, it was incredibly clear that I was not to renew it. It was just like this divine timing. And in fact, we presented the findings of that research study, and I held myself accountable by announcing my decision on stage at this NOAC meeting where we were presenting results. And so it was actually this moment of not just a decision, but a moment of liberation. And also it felt very much like a declaration for the community and for community practitioners that this was not just a choice for myself. It was a broader choice about what I stand for and what I'd like to see. So.
Wow. Amazing. Well, I'm so happy that you are taking the lead in that. Like you were saying, I think that's from an outsider's perspective, it's difficult to see how you could do that. But this is what you're saying is this is what is giving you the freedom and the allowance to be a creator and a visionary outside of the norms of the box. And that really leads us into our discussion today mm-hmm. around sovereignty, body autonomy, and accessibility, which are all like kind of trigger words in a lot of conversations around psychedelics. So before we like dive into them, what do you actually mean by these words?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So fascinating that they're trigger words. They just feel so resonant in my body, but I understand. You know, when I speak to sovereignty, there's actually, you know, different levels to that. There's personal sovereignty, in terms of having full authority over oneself and decisions. And then there's the extension of sovereignty towards what's the sovereignty of the community, what's the sovereignty of the state, et cetera, in terms of being able to operate, you know, with one's own knowing around what is most beneficial in terms of the decisions and the ability to make those decisions that are not only about oneself, but are well informed to be able to make clear choices. And I think perhaps part of the reason that they might be trigger words is, you know, we don't, as a society, we don't, and as individuals, we aren't necessarily there yet. And so I want to distinguish sovereignty from self-interest, which has more of an egoic, sort of a rebellious sort of nature to it. And I think what we see a lot in socially is sometimes more of a rebellion against. And it's not actually coming from the level of maturity and self-responsibility that I see as sort of these prerequisites and these ways to develop into really being these personal sovereign beings. And when we have that personal sovereignty, then we can make choices about our bodies, about our minds, about what we put into our bodies that are the best for us. And that also take into consideration the larger sphere. And that requires a lot. It really asks a lot of us. It asks for us to do our deep personal work. It asks for us to dig in and to do our research. It asks for us to look beyond the surface of what's being communicated into the mainstream and to hold our own beliefs and ideals in such a way that it's coming from a maturely developed place. So that's tied in with access in such a way. You know, I when we talk about access to psychedelics, for example, or, you know, or mushrooms, or, you know, these sorts of things, there's this narrative that I hear quite a bit around, oh, well, you know, we need to create these clinics and we need to do all of these things in order to increase access. But I don't actually know what I need access to if I don't know myself. And if I am taking in what the powers that be tell me that I need, then I never actually create that integrated sort of connection to be able to look and even know what I need. And so it just becomes very it becomes sort of this confusing narrative where access is being positioned in one particular parameter and in one particular way. And there are lots of different solutions if we allow ourselves to have those conversations and start to examine some of the fear and the responsiveness to fear. Because being a sovereign being, we step out of the drama triangle of being a victim or perpetrating or trying to rescue others, quite frankly. And so there's a lot of personal responsibility that comes with this. So am I clear about that? Or are there questions?
Yes, and. Yes, and there will be lots of questions, I'm sure. They're already starting in the chat channel. But clear as mud. No. clear and they're deep topics. And so let's move into, you know, why these are important considerations within the current trajectory of psychedelic legalization and decrim movements.
Yeah. So these are really hot topics right now, especially in Colorado. You know, there's some movement happening in Oregon, and I don't know how closely everyone's tracking this, but you know, part of me, like part of what I consider my personal responsibility as a, I don't know, leader is not quite the right word, but I'm going to use it like a leader, at least at a local level in this space, is to take the personal responsibility to, like I said, really examine what's happening beneath the surface. And so I've taken the liberty to really do quite a lot of research into legal frameworks, the legal and implications of these various models with regards to, you know, legalized service centers and healing centers, and decriminalization models. And so I feel like I'm coming from a very well-informed standpoint. So there's these two factions, I guess you could call it. There tends to be people who, you know, kind of want one or the other, more so. I personally am coming from a standpoint where I favor decriminalization first, to not penalize people like this, this woman who is the nurse that recently had her children taken away for growing her own mushrooms and microdosing. In a legalized model, this woman would still be doing something against the law. There's nothing to say that in a legalized model that exact same thing would not have happened to this woman, because she was essentially acting from her own sovereignty and caring for her own health. And so I think that that's just really important to recognize, that there is a method of really privileging one way, and penalizing others. And to me, that is not freedom. When we have to stand on the backs of others in order to legalize for a certain set and certain use case, that's not the type of freedom that I aspire to have personally. I could say so much about this, Dana. mm, Is there anything else specific that you're curious about?
Sorry for the awkward silence. I just had a hard time getting off mute there. I was just preoccupied for a second. The question that I have now. Oh, yes, two questions. First, in your perspective, can legalization and decriminalization coexist?
They can. The inclination that I would have to say, based on what's being presented, is really, decriminalization can be first, and it's the easiest route. And I'll give you an example of why it's the easiest route. There are two ballot initiatives that are have the potential to make it onto the ballot in Colorado this year, and we just have a process in the state that allows that and allows citizens to bring forward. And one of them is a pure decriminalization, and the other is this legalized model. And the decriminalization is very, very simple language. And it simply rewrites the Controlled Substances Act in the state to make these things possession, growing, gifting, sharing, and sitting with others no longer a crime, no longer a punishable crime. And it's five paragraphs, and it's quite simple, and it would take effect within 30 days. Unfortunately, because this is not, this doesn't have funding by big political interest, I don't know if they'll actually get the number of signatures that they need to make it to the ballot, which is unfortunate. And then you have legalization, and that has a lot of details that goes with it. And there are a lot of assumptions that have to be made out the gate in that model that we don't know and we haven't actually proven out yet. And it'll take a couple of years to implement, and there's a lot of language and there's a lot to manage. The drawback right now is that with legalization at a state level and putting forward these models and sort of tying revenues and all of these sorts of traditional business sorts of things with it, is that it's actually not as clean as what it's being presented because it's federally still illegal. And so this is part of where some of the research that I've done has become critical. Because it still has a federally illegal status, there are some very unique things that covertly eliminate who can participate as a provider, as an operator in that model. And so it can coexist. It absolutely can. But there is an expense there's like a social and local community expense that comes with that, not just financially, but it essentially would force certain people who could work independently as providers and keeping, you know, costs lower for individuals to go have to work for a large licensed operator and all of the excess costs and expense that's going to come with that. And so, you know, that really changes the conversation when it comes to accessibility. It really changes the conversation when it comes to, like, oh, like who can actually do this? And it really then does come a conversation about money becomes more primary in that case. So that's kind of what I have to say about, like, yes, they can coexist. And when we start to have regulations and a small body of people, you know, 10, 15 people making decisions on behalf of everyone, then that's not really a decentralized process. And it's not necessarily favorable to everyone in the community at that point. But it, you know, it can work. It's, you know, it's like most any other licensed profession, except with a lot of extra parameters and financial requirements on the back end and the front end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your perspective on that. That's something that I'm really curious about in kind of the factionalization of legalization and decrim. So I really appreciate you weighing in on that.
So how, going back to the topics of sovereignty, body autonomy, and accessibility, how do the role of sitters and facilitators and guides factor into these topics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, we are kind of at this really interesting place right now where there is a lot of interest and it's growing and it's becoming even bigger. And then we have these test cases that are happening for legalization and decriminalization that are coming forward. And we have the research that's happening around a therapeutic sort of mental health model. And there's, you know, some of those lines get really blurry about, well, what's a peer support model and what's a therapeutic model? And there are, you know, more people who are becoming very interested in entering the space in a way. And I think that, you know, the easy kind of go-to is to say, oh, I want to be a facilitator, because that's what's being most discussed and talked about. That one-on-one facilitator model is not the one that has the most historic legacy, not even close to it. And so I feel like part of what maybe that impulse and what that impetus is it's like, I want to be a part of the solution. I want to help others. And right now, the only obvious framework to do that is like, oh, well, of course, I need to be a facilitator. And that's where I think that really opening up the conversation around, well, what are the other ways that this can look? What are the other ways that we can start to support one another that are really going to be necessary to move through this wave of development that we're in? That sort of changes the conversation, and it can kind of take some pressure off in a way to be like, oh, like I don't need to go do this as a professional. What I really am most desiring is to help. I want to help out my family. I want to help out my friends. I want to help out myself. And there are not a lot of frameworks, and there are not as many avenues to really move in that direction. It's not where the conversation is being directed. And I get it, right? Like you hear Michael Pollan on the docuseries and he's talking about LSD and MDMA, you know, quote unquote, escaping the lab, which created some chaos and some havoc and some regulatory pushback. But we're in a really different place right now than we were in the 60s, than we were in the 80s. I mean, we're so available to be connected. I've really seen there being so much more harm reduction material and education created. I mean, these things didn't even exist that I was aware of when I was, you know, a teenager gathering and doing mushrooms in the 90s. Like none of this was available. And so we're in a really very, very different, we have a different cultural opportunity at this point in time that we did not have back then. And so the sort of the protection to move this through a more medical therapeutic model is maybe not the most relevant conversation to be having nowadays. I feel the most, one of the more relevant conversations to be having is, how do we use all of these beautiful tools that we have at our disposal to actually create a base of education for everyone? And that this becomes part of our kind of common cultural knowledge. You know, we talk about emotional intelligence and all of these things, like, what about just having, you know, expanded states intelligence, having psychedelic intelligence, and that's it changes the conversation significantly. And the last, you know, one of the last pieces I'll say is, you know, much like I let go of my psychotherapy designation, you know, I do still play in the realm of guiding, but I've also kind of let go of that identity as well. And that there's something that within our own process of like, well, what is that inside of me that wants to be the sitter or the guide?
because it's a position of power, essentially. And so there's some deep personal work to really examine what is that relationship? How is that tied up with money and survival? What is it that I'm really doing here? And so if we aspire to be or identify with the role of sitter or guide or any of those things, like, I feel like these are the deep conversations, honestly, that we need to be having with ourselves and with one another to see what really is most beneficial for moving this forward in a good way that's going to help our communities and our planets long-term, not short-term.
So really like exploring your motivation, I suppose, is kind of the bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, exploring the motivation and also widening our perspective is kind of the two points that I'm making here, like deeply examining the motivations. And then like, what are the other ways? Right. So if we're being kind of like, if there's this more traditional way, which makes sense, right? We have a framework for that. And this is part of like, we're doing our own work, and especially with psychedelics can be tremendously helpful because it helps open up and create new frames. If we're willing to do that, it opens up creative possibilities that haven't ever existed, new ways to look and put things together. And so I feel like, you know, to move from kind of this more traditional way of doing things and opening up these new frames and new ways of being has a lot of possibility, and it will ultimately take us being sovereign inside of ourselves, willing to go for it, to speak, to try things on in order to create new possibilities for access.
Okay. So it's like not playing in the box.
Yeah, being willing not to play in the box. And I mean, you know, and if you want to be in the box, like, that's okay. Like, just like, that's cool. Just, all right, I'm going to be in the box. And that might be where one arrives in their place of exploration. You know, we need people in the box too.
But one of the things I love about conversations with you is that they really kind of facilitate thinking outside of that box and exploring wider and greater. And I think that's kind of the message here too, is don't be confined. Look at your motivations, make sure that we are here for the right reasons, and then find ways that maybe haven't been developed yet, or new frameworks that provide, you know, the best for ourselves and our communities.
Yeah, absolutely. And those frameworks, they may be very individual and local. And I mean, I feel like that there's, it can feel really chaotic when it's coming out. And when we have that chaos coming up, you know, like sometimes the impulse is like, stuff it down, like, let's organize it. But that sort of disintegration process, right, that's what's actually being pointed towards in the psychedelic experience when we talk about things like ego dissolution, which I prefer ego disillusion as the word to that. But that's really what we're pointing towards, is like this disintegration that really has to happen in order to sort through the pieces that are most valuable to create from. And to allow the space to really do that, you know, when I think about developmentally, not only like, you know, individual developmental theories, but like social developmental theories and like integral frameworks and those sorts of things, is like, that there's this uncomfortable movement that it seems that we're right up against right now, where we're moving from this place in society, which is very, you know, rule-based, and it's coming from these like more concrete sorts of, you know, operational frameworks, and moving through something that is, it has more relativity to it and acknowledges that. And it just is bringing forward the culture in such a way. And so I feel like it's really important to create the space for that to happen, because there are, you know, a percentage of individuals who sort of move through that and can help us move the way forward. And I don't think it's the governments and the regulators who are there. and they have a different role.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is such good food for thought. Thank you so much. So we're talking about the role of sitters and facilitators and guides and how that factors into these terms that we're talking about, sovereignty, body autonomy, and accessibility. And now, where does the just average person, where does the average person fit into these frameworks or these terminologies?
Yeah. That's really important, obviously. You know, I mean, I kind of am situated in this world, right? And so I just have to acknowledge that, like, ooh, okay, sometimes I can really forget how uninformed that a lot of our society still is about some of these topics. You know, seeking out good information, I would say, is top priority, and really taking the responsibility for doing that. So because there's so much that's coming online now, you know, prioritizing the examination of, well, what are the different methods that one would want to potentially enter in through. You know, the therapeutic sort of framework is one possibility, and that's one that is being spoken a lot about, but also exercising discernment with some of that. You know, the research that's coming out is good, but it's also incomplete. And so really taking the responsibility to do one's homework, you know, kind of like I was saying, looking beneath the covers, really figuring out what it is, asking good questions, starting out with one's own practices and not sort of jumping the gun. This is one of the things that that I could see as the potential is sort of bypassing the other steps and the other foundational pieces that could really allow psychedelics to do their work in a good way. And so I think as individuals, there's a level of personal responsibility to reflect there as well, around like, well, what is actually happening in my life? What sorts of foundation do I have in place? Am I looking for this to sort of solve my problems for me? And these are important questions just for individuals to be asking themselves as well. And the invitation is really to invite in a level of developing self-awareness and developing enough of a foundation before just sort of jumping on the bandwagon of psychedelics. And they're beautiful tools, but the tools, you know, we meet them halfway. We have to meet them 50% of the way. And that's what I've seen. And so there's a whole range of possibility. And I think it's going to be up to a lot of individuals to really start to exercise discernment and self-honesty in that process. If you haven't done therapy or coaching and, you know, you're working with a trauma or a big thing, like, yes, you know, like, please have that foundation in place, you know, prior to jumping into a big experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very wise words there. Nicole, I'm going to open this up to the rest of the room because look, the stage is filling up and I know that you and I can talk about this stuff for ages. And I just want to open it up to the stage, but just before we do, I just want to ask you, with the Luminous Guide, I know you have this Embodied Journey Foundations, the Art of Self-Guided Journeys coming up. We can talk about that before we close at the end as well. But what can people expect from the Luminous Guide?
Yes, I'll speak to that. So the Luminous Guide was created because I want to offer these different types of solutions that I'm speaking to. And much like I got other messaging, I got the sort of messaging to follow and develop this. So what I'm launching with is, as you said, Embodied Journey Foundations, the Art of Self-Guided Journeys. And what the intention behind that is to teach people directly the skill sets, the tools, some of the methods that I have been using with myself and with clients that I have seen to be very effective in a therapeutic, using specifically mushrooms in a therapeutically oriented type of process. This is not for the person who's looking for a high dose journey. I mean, that is, you know, a time and place where having a sitter or someone with you is very appropriate. But I really want to teach people directly of how to do this work for yourself in such a way where you can and will meet the medicine halfway. And doing that through a level of dosing that is safe, that you can still be online, that you can still be embodied. And so the word embodied is being used very intentionally because the body is a gateway into some of our deepest information that we're holding in our implicit beingness. And so that's the intention. It's to, I've tried teaching guides. I've tried that route. It didn't really fully land for me. And this feels incredibly aligned with everything that I'm saying is like, I want to give people the skill sets to do it for themselves, to have a journey partner in their own home, in their own communities, because that's the way that I see this moving forward in a beautiful way. So that's part of my solution.
Yes. Well, I can hear how that 6-week online immersion just absolutely enwraps the terms that we're talking about today: sovereignty, body autonomy, and accessibility. So, check it out, everybody. The website is pinned at the top of the room. Once again, welcome anyone who's popped into Psychedelics 101. We are a Flourish Academy room, and we meet every Friday morning to talk about everything and anything psychedelics. And today, we are really honored to have a guest with us, who is Nicole Lilly. And she is a visionary guide and creator. I think we'll land there. And we're talking about these incredibly nuanced terms of sovereignty, body autonomy, and accessibility. I'm going to open up now to start moving around the stage. I have preemptively turned off hand raising because our stage is full. And I have a feeling that some of these conversations are going to have the tendency to go pretty deep. But let's try to keep in mind that we try to wrap up around 9:30. I have a feeling we'll be going a bit later here today, but let's do keep our shares respectful of the number of people who are yet behind you who want to share before we close the room. So with that, I'm going to turn it first to my moderator, Haya, to see if there's anything that she would like to directly ask Nicole or share with Nicole before we open it up to everybody else. Haya, over to you.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, Nicole, so much great information. And I love hearing your story and your background and everything and how you basically decided that you just can't fit into a box. And I feel so kindred to that notion in itself. Boxes and molds are not for me either. And I just wanted to ask, in terms of someone who might be looking to maybe change their career or be a guide or, you know, a specialist, a consultant of some sort, and are looking to further their education, would you be someone who would advise, yes, education is like definitely something that you would do again, license aside, but is education really something that is, a formal education, not just education, but a formal education, is that something that is what you would consider to be a necessity to having the right experience to really guide someone? I just wanted to ask that mm-hmm. question for anyone mm-hmm. who might be wondering.
Yeah. You know, I feel like we, yes. I don't know, you know, the word formal might be a bit loaded there, but for me, like, this was not just like an academic education. It was a life-changing experience. It changed who I was as a person to devote myself and commit to that for a 3-year process and to move through that. It fundamentally changed who I was. It, allowed me to do my own deep personal work in that process and come out on the other side capable and skillful in the ability to hold the space for individuals. And so, you know, I would just invite, if there's a tendency to like look at education from kind of a mental standpoint of like, oh, I'm gonna do this to like get something from it, I would just say like maybe changing the framing around that. From something that's really outcome-based to something that's more process-based, because that's what we're doing when we actually are with people. It's not about the outcome. It's about holding space for the process. And so I feel it's really important, whatever the avenue one chooses in order to do that, that we have gone through that process, not just with psychedelics, but without, and having a foundation that we can really stand on and feel grounded in and embodied enough of like, this is who I be and this is how I am, to really hold that kind of space, you know? And so that's the invitation.
Love that. Thank you so much. I appreciate that answer.
Yeah, such a good question, Haya. And I like the reflection back, be about that, the process, not the outcome. What a great answer. Okay, we're moving around. Lucia.
Lucia.
It's Italian.
Buongiorno. thank you for inviting me up on stage. I'm not sure if I'm going to be going in and out. I'm on top of a mountain in Carmel Valley and overlooking beautiful, beautiful scenery right now, and such a potent conversation. It's interesting. I've long been personally torn in this world of balancing the... balancing the pieces where accessibility comes naturally, like when you know, the sacredness of a journey comes to you, or when people say, you know, the medicine comes to you, and also when we call things medicine in this world, how there's a lot of regulation in the modern day world around regulating the medicines of indigenous cultures. So I'm still finding my own personal balance, right? Because I tend to personally look at how I interact with specifically mushrooms from a way of knowing my ancestors, coming at it from a place of still recognizing that what I do in the facilitation and use of these technologies is going to be impacting not just myself and others, but our earth and our, you know, how we interact with other human beings. So I'm really just enjoying, like Haya had said, you know, that you're not in a box, Nicole. Like there's room for all of it. And I really do feel like there is room for all of it. And also I do want to presence Oi's comments in the chat, because I do think it's important to address when a black man comes into a room and he doesn't, you know, he's saying, where are the other people of color in the room? I just want to acknowledge him, whether, you know, it's not me to judge whether that's appropriate or not, but I do want to presence that. And whenever you have somebody coming in saying, I'm curious, you know, what's going on. And this happens, I know, in our psychedelics professionals group, you know, like that's something that is being present. So I don't want to push him away as like he's just coming in as a troll, because he definitely has a lot of wisdom and knowledge. So those are a couple things I want to presence, and I want to presence the great, beautiful work that everybody's doing. And thank you all. I'm very grateful to be in the space.
Thanks, Lucia. Nicole, is there anything that you want to address there?
I just want to briefly address the term medicine. And it's actually a term that I am trying personally to not use. I know I did mention that a few times and use that languaging. I think shifting that, right, because medicine is something that's regulated. And even if this does become, legalized and regulated, like the languaging that we use and that we speak about will inevitably need to shift and adapt, right? Because medicine in the United States, at least, is a very specific sort of professional paradigm, which is highly regulated. And so I personally am finding other terminologies. I loved, you know, like sort of these sacred technologies, like what are other ways that we can speak about it and not just sort of fall into this sort of trance almost about it. And so, like, I think that's cool, right? It's another way for me to just get really clear on like, like what really is happening here, and how do I use language and things to start to speak and shift how we talk about it.
Interesting. Is there another terminology that you think is more appropriate?
I like using catalyst. I like using allies. I'm trying to make a habit of really contextualizing what it is that I speak to. And so there's all sorts of creative things. Yeah. I like the word ally.
Yeah.
Catalyst.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. Good comments and questions, Lucia, and regarding the chat and Oi's comments in the chat. I welcome everybody to come back next Friday when we have an open forum room, when we can talk more openly about what's working, what's not, how to use the chat, how not to, how to welcome people, how to welcome curiosity. So let's stay on our topic for today, and please do come back and provide your input and guidance for us all next week, next Friday. And with that, we're moving around to Andrew. Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the stage. What's on your mind today?
Oh, we can't hear you,
yeah,
Andrew.
Yeah, I see that you're off mute. Oh, okay. We will come back.
There he is. He's back.
Can you hear me? Mic check. Hello?
Now we can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, I know the trick. I'm going to pop in, pop out, and I'm back.
Well done.
thank you, everyone, for holding this space and welcoming me. I got in a little bit later, about 20 minutes in, and as soon as I walked in and I started hearing, like, sovereignty and like medicine, of course, and the over medicalization systems and the box, oh my gosh, like to me, like I thinking of a box in the first place kind of really puts me in a limiting kind of mindset. So I like to think like there's no box in the first place. Like that's just kind of how I tend to see things, but it's always good to have parameters, of course. I mean, me entering the space and being respectful of everybody's time and input. For one, I just support everything that's going on here in terms of really identifying different terminology, especially like medicine being in its own parameter of you know, different types of regulatory systems. I think the term that I tend to align with when it comes to like the mushroom is from a more kind of Spanish diction, which is called, I was thinking about over the last couple of weeks, and I like to call it sabiens, where saber is the verb for to know. And then it's also, for me, homage to Maria Sabina, which, you know, of course, she's like the grandmother of psychedelics. And so just adding that in there, and sabiens being this kind of colloquial term to coin as mushrooms, as teachers, as healers, as allies, I resonated with it so much more, and having it enter into a space where it's newly fresh, especially where we're starting to carve out reclamation of these teachers that are way predated to the how economy entered the world and colonialism and things like that. And it's a very dense topic, of course. There's so many voices, there's so much richness in this field that is just taking form, and we're in a space where you can start carving out that language to where it is easily accessible for everybody, regardless of clinical settings, regardless of legal settings and things like that too. And I know that, of course, like we're always treading waters and walking a fine line to do it correctly and right, and having a strong foundation. So I'm just so glad to at least be part of this conversation and to join, and always open to explore it a lot more. So thank you, Nicole and Dana and Haya, for holding the space. And I'm looking forward to like where and how everyone else's voice matters as this conversation moves forward. And I'm Andrew, and I'm complete.
Thanks, Andrew. Over to you, Nicole.
Yeah. I mean, thank you. And I'll just name, I'm not really tracking what's going on in the chat, so forgive me if I'm kind of like not fully aware, or feel like if it seems like I'm missing something. It's really not intentional. I'm just trying to be here now and presence the conversation.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And I love that, awesome. Right? Creating your own terminology, Andrew, that really sort of resonates and creates this space. Like, that's the exact kind of creativity that I'm speaking to. And how beautiful that you get to create your own language around that.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here, Andrew, and for sharing your perspective. That was super, super interesting. Vanessa, hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for this beautiful conversation, this beautiful space to explore these different concepts. And I love the idea of paying full attention to being very intentional with the words that we use. And I think that one of the beautiful things about psychedelics is that the different plant allies and ancestors, I think, that support us on this journey is that we learn to be more intentional with how we use our words, how we refer to these allies, whether we call them allies or medicine, or what is medicine, right? In the Western concept of medicine, medicine is something that you take to suppress a symptom, whereas in more indigenous cultures, medicine is also a relationship, right? In some cultures, or a lot of indigenous people, we refer to ourselves as the medicine. We are the medicine. When we do the healing work ourselves, when we look within, the medicine is already within us. The trees are the medicine. The air is the medicine. All of it is medicine. So it always depends on how intentional we are with the words that we speak, how we honor the words, how we honor the different elements that we're working with. I also really appreciated this concept of sovereignty that brings in the concept of personal responsibility, because I think a lot of times we do think of sovereignty as simply the freedom to do whatever we want. But with that freedom also comes a great responsibility, a responsibility to ourselves, to our community, to our earth. And I think that without the component of personal responsibility, we can't truly experience sovereignty. And as Danny was saying earlier in the chat, that we both experienced a lot of healing through a lot of tapping into our personal sovereignty through the healing work. And it takes a lot of responsibility, a lot of ownership of our past mistakes, of our limiting beliefs, of the stories that we had been telling ourselves over the years. And so there's a lot of work that comes with this healing practice. I actually saw somebody posted earlier on a social media platform that they didn't realize that the healing was going to be more painful than the trauma itself, because it does require that deep looking within. And I think we do have the answers within ourselves. And I think the plants and the different elements that are available to support our journey really bring us back into ourselves, to recognizing that personal responsibility. And speaking to even the comments in the chat, I think there is to some degree a component of lack of sovereignty when we start tapping into these stories, right? These stories of coming into a space and perhaps not being fully aware and creating a story, right? A lot of times I found myself doing that, where I create a story without having the full context. And that's not to say that there are traumas in there that are triggered by certain events, but it is still our personal responsibility to look at those stories within ourselves and really ask ourselves, am I coming from a place of empowerment, or am I coming from a place of disempowerment? And this all goes back to being very intentional and asking ourselves, like Nicole said, what is my intention with this? What is my purpose? So I really appreciate this conversation. I loved everything that was shared, and I'm grateful for this space. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And, you know, and really sort of pointing to the differences culturally around the relationship to nature and community as really being embedded in a way of life of the self. And so that there's a certain level of respect and something that's been earned in those cultures to even use the word medicine and to call ourselves medicine. And if that's truly what we call forward, it's not medicine from an extractive standpoint. Let me see what I can take to heal me. It then becomes like, if I'm going to be the medicine, then actually I am doing my own healing work with the intention so that I can truly be the medicine and help heal what's happening in this fractured planet. And that does require so much, not, you know, personal responsibility and action, right? It's whatever insights that we gain, they only, if we don't actually act on them. So there's this very like kind of feminine masculine integration of like, yes, we need to take action on these things. Like, what are we doing to heal the communities? What are we doing to get back to the earth? And at some point, that, in my opinion, is what really needs to be primary. And the allies that we use from the earth are to help move that sort of intention forward. Because if we're not being a medicine for one another in the planet, then like, what are we really even doing?
Absolutely. Wow. Great perspectives, Vanessa. And thank you, Nicole. John. Hi, John. Welcome to the stage.
Hello. I think I'll be brief. I'm mostly just enjoying listening, but in recognition of what Vanessa was just talking about, it's more painful sometimes, the healing part, but because for me in particular, what I recognize in myself when I am, when I am consuming the medicine, however you want to put it, whether it's microdosing or mostly the microdosing, the benefit is actually self-realization and seeing myself from the perspective of someone else, only it's me, right? And being able to actually recognize that there's things about me that are sort of negative when it comes to reactions to other people. Like, for instance, you know, you're talking about the chat. For me, it's just I understand and respect exactly where somebody's coming from, but at the same time, we have a focus. We all come here to listen and share and inspire and build and learn and enrich our knowledge. And so sometimes when somebody makes certain statements, it kind of could tend to put other people on the defensive and feel like, oh, what did I do wrong, you know? And so that's kind of all I was saying. But there's something that I recognize in myself. I get annoyed really easily with other people. And a lot of times the thing that I'm annoyed about is the thing that annoys other people about me. So it's very, what is the word? I don't even know what it is. Where you kind of realize, oh my gosh, I'm doing exactly what I don't like. But that's the benefit of the learning and the growing. And so I recognize what is being said and the value of the plant medicine or the psychedelics in general, the intention. So I'm just here listening. And again, I'm observing when I start to get, you know, when I start to get a little bit uptight or defensive or whatever, I'm recognizing that so much sooner now than I ever have. And I'm really happy about that. So it just aligns with kind of what a few of the things that have been said. So thank you for letting me speak. I'm done for now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are all mirrors for one another to some degree, right? And really taking that pause and taking that moment of inquiry to determine, well, what's really true here, it is sort of the essence of the of autonomy and sovereignty and taking responsibility for how you hold yourself and what you choose to take in and give out. And I so resonate. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Such a good share, John. Really pausing to reflect back on ourselves and that inquiry. I agree with Nicole. It kind of encapsulates the terms that we're talking about today. So thank you so much for your share. I realized, I don't know how, but I skipped over Namibia. So I'm coming back to you, Namibia. Over to you.
Hi, I'm just grateful to be here and listening. And it was very sweet of you to include me in the dialogue. I've been kind of researching and learning and listening about entheogens and their power for healing and exploration. And I've been feeling closer and closer to connecting for the first time. And I think I'm looking for a good source for my first time for me and my husband. And so listening is really important for me. So thank you for this room. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, go ahead, Nicole.
thank you. Thank you for being here. And I just, you know, I love that you're here, like, on behalf of your family and to really find that thread for you that you're called towards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just echo that. Thank you for being with us, Namibia, for speaking up. And I just encourage you to keep coming back to our rooms. It's actually a good time for me to quickly reset the room that this is Psychedelics 101, and we meet every Friday morning at 8 a.m. to talk about everything and anything psychedelics. And we alternate between having guest speakers like Nicole, who can take us on deep dives into areas to explore, with having open forum share and care rooms, which is an opportunity for people to just ask any questions they may have, share any stories they may have, be witnessed, get support. And so I just encourage you to keep coming back. And the Flourish Academy holds rooms 3 days a week, three and a half, I'll say. On Wednesdays, we have cannabis, entheogens, and women's wellness. On Thursdays, we hold Psychedelic Microdosing 101. And every second Tuesday, we have Haya Moon's Multiverse, which is kind of a combination of all our topics together. And they're all at 8 a.m. So if you would like to stay in the loop of the rooms and ensure that you don't miss out, please do click on the little greenhouse icon up on the top left of your screen beside the Flourish Academy. You will join our club that we like to call our family, and stay in the loop of our rooms. And thank you so much for being here. And I'm doing my pull to refresh, make sure I get it right this time. I think we're on to Danny next. So Danny, over to you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Nicole, for this great talk. Autonomy and sovereignty is something that, as an anarchist, I am I'm obsessed with it, I would say. and I think that this is really the box we have been referring to, this kind of framework of legality and ethics as the medical industry sees it, which is all very informed by a very subjective capitalist view in the United States, in most of the developed, quote unquote, developed countries. In many ways, the developed countries are actually underdeveloped, right? But it's a very capitalist framework. Actually, I would call it, I admit that I'm an extremist, I would call it more of a corporate fascist framework. I like to use extreme language to shake people out of their kind of philosophical slumbers sometimes. But yeah, this kind of, I don't know if my wife mentioned this, but it's a return, it's a re-indigenization, right? A return to first principles, first values of individual sovereignty while respecting the sovereignty of the collective as well. Right? It's that kind of dualistic paradox of we are all sovereign individuals with the source-given right to heal ourselves in any way we see fit, whether the legal frameworks allow for it or not. And I think on many levels, it's our responsibility to exercise our rights, to do those things, to use those healing modalities, regardless of what the frameworks that are in place, the power structures, say we can and cannot do. With that said, I'm also sensitive that, not everybody is comfortable taking those risks. And so, as I've said before in this room, I think it's important for everyone to tap into their own intuition to see what aspect of that structure is their part of challenging that structure, rather, is their part to play. So, Nicole, I'm really thankful for people like you who are really challenging that framework in a very real way by kind of teaching this and spreading this message, because I think it is so important. So many people are, my ego wants to use the word begging the system for permission to heal themselves. but I recognize that's a judgment. I think, that's a judgment of their fear, and their fear is justified. People are ending up in cages sometimes for using these mm-hmm. types of healing modalities. So I want to also be respectful of that. So I'm trying to calm my ego down and say, okay, let's use softer language and respect that fear as well. But I think I really appreciate, in contrast to that, those who have the courage to do those things, my wife and I have appeared on national media. We use our real names. We don't let them shadow our faces because we want to challenge that and challenge in a way that's, and this has been a challenge for me, challenge in a way that's not resistance, right? I don't want to resist. Mm-hmm. I want to just flow within my sovereignty without entering into resistance in terms of seeing them as an enemy. Ultimately, it's just an old framework that is, becoming extinct. And to some degree, when that system is losing its power, it's going to kind of rebel and try to hold on to power even more. And I think we're kind of seeing that with some of these draconian policies that have been passed in the last couple of years in response to COVID and all that. So anyway, without taking up too much more time in the room, thank you, Nicole. I appreciate you. Donna and Haya, love you guys. Thank you, everyone. I'm complete. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you so much for that powerful share. And thank you for your courage and your willingness to be seen and taking a stand for something. And I love what you said about it's not a resistance, it's not a fight, but really using that energy as a place to create, as a place to open up to new possibilities is where I feel that I can be of most service and of use, and to re-knit these relationships in such a way that when we can create and have these more organic forms come to be, that, you know, my desire is that hopefully that there is some protection towards the more vulnerable who can't do that. And then there's just one more piece that I wanted to speak to in this that it feels really important is, you know, it's not just our own human sovereignty, but recognizing the sovereignty of every living thing on this planet. And the right for every single thing on this planet to organize itself from that place of the soul divine blueprint that has been given, the right for trees to be and to self-organize and to have a say, the right for the fish, the right for the rivers, right? And so there's this way that when we start to have these conversations, it's not just about legalities, it's about how we coexist and how we are interdependent beings on this planet together. So thank you.
Yes, and I echo that, Danny. Thank you so much for your share. Thank you so much for the work that you and Vanessa are doing and for your outspokenness. And I love the way that you said it, that you're doing it in a way not to impose, but actually to open up. That's so important. And, you know, if I had the bandwidth to be able to call out to people in our community before some of these rooms and say, oh, you really got to come. This one's going to be great. This one's going to be right up your alley. I was thinking that in the back of my mind with you and Vanessa, Danny. I was like, oh, I hope Danny and Vanessa come. They're totally going to get into this. So I'm really happy to have you guys here to be part of the conversation. Sev, we're over to you. Welcome.
Grand Rising, everybody. First of all, thank you for having this room. A lot of beautiful shares. I appreciate everyone who has shared. It is really important for us to understand that, you know, through personal and your autonomy and your sovereignty, through that we are able to collectively come together and accomplish great things. I did want to say that there's a meme floating around right now where there's someone meditating and they're like, that's it. I've achieved enlightenment, or I've conquered my ego. I forget, something along those lines. And then a couple beats go by and they're like, I'm so much better than everyone else. And I think that we got to, you know, do our best to keep that in check. I don't think that killing your ego per se is the answer, because I don't think that that's possible. I think accepting your ego for what it is and acknowledging it when it does make an appearance in whatever facet of your life is a big part of sovereignty and body autonomy, because we do tend to react, you know, like what was going on in the chat. If we're not standing in our personal sovereignty, we do feel like the universe is conspiring against us somehow. And it is up to us to take control of that once again. And, you know, there's a book called No Excuses by Brian Tracy that, I mean, it's a sales book, but it has a lot of really good information in there about, you know, not blaming the universe for what's happening to you. Yeah, some bad shit happens, but it's up to you to make the decision of how you, your next move based on what has just occurred. So if you get in a car accident or something like that bad happens to you, instead of saying, you know, the universe is conspiring against me, it's saying, how am I going to get through this, and figuring that out, because, you know, there's not going to be someone there to hold your hand at all times. But I do think that psychedelics have that ability to kind of guide you through a lot of tougher experiences. And so I personally like to go towards the shadow work, and I do feel much more in tune with myself when I'm able to uncover some of these layers within myself. So that's my piece for today. Thank you guys again. I really appreciate and love all of you.
Okay. Nicole, did you want to address that before we move on?
I mean, just what a beautiful share, you know. Thank you for being part of the process.
Yeah, absolutely, Sev. Thank you so much. Michael, we're around to you. What's up this morning?
All right. Thanks a lot for inviting me. Just happened to be looking through Clubhouse, and I saw that Nicole was speaking, and just wanted to give a shout out to her. She was a facilitator at a retreat that I was in last year in Costa Rica. And she's just a super awesome person. And she, I won't share the story, but she knows what it is about empowerment and having someone have your back and stand up for you. And so I just want to just say, Nicole, I think about that a lot. And I, you know, I just really am grateful that, that you were there. And, but so, one of the things that was brought up in some of the many really great, comments was this idea of empowerment. And, actually, you know, at some point you have to do something. And, you know, it's one thing to just shake your head and say, this isn't right. It's another thing to like post something on LinkedIn. It's another thing to put a bumper sticker on your car. But at some point, you know, you have to, you know, you have to do something where you, yeah, I mean, and all those things, I guess, are important. But, you know, we are in sort of a critical space right now. I mean, you know, we got a Supreme Court that's seems pretty wacky. And, you know, and this idea of, you know, personal autonomy and how you treat yourself, how you decide to take the medicine that you want to take to heal yourself should be a very, should be a personal decision. And, you know, I've been in, you know, as my profile picture might suggest, you know, I've been in the cannabis space for a number of years, and I've just found that there's just such a distinct difference in tone and energy between the psychedelic space and the cannabis space. It's been really frustrating for me to just see, you know, the cannabis space sort of just sort, you know, almost cannibalize itself on a lot of different levels. And but, you know, the psychedelic space seems fresher, it seems cleaner, it seems, you know, and again, you know, not to use judgment words, but, you know, it seems more authentic. And I think that the research that's going on is really, from a science point of view, it's just absolutely mind-blowing, you know, and, you know, if no one's seen or read, you know, Michael Pollan's book, How to Change Your Mind, certainly recommend that. The book is great, but the, you know, the docuseries on Netflix is really amazing and inspiring. And then the last thing, and so in terms of doing something, like the one group, because I've, you know, I followed, you know, patient advocacy groups and, you know, advocacy groups in general. And in terms of this space, the group that I've seen to be most effective that I would, you know, perhaps suggest you check out if you want to be, you know, more political to actually do something, like get a ballot initiative on, you know, on the ballot so that maybe you could, your state could be free from some of these governmental controls, is Decriminalized Nature. They've been extraordinarily effective. I had the pleasure of working with them in Michigan during one of their, you know, to help free Grand Rapids from the the onerous watch of the police for you know, for ethnogens. So, and then the last thing is this concept of medicine that, you know, as a physician, I don't really seem to have a problem with, because medicine, I look at it like Aristotle talked about, you know, he was the first one to have been recorded to say, let food be thy medicine. And so medicine, you know, has a lot of context. And I think that, you know, this idea that we've been really disempowered over the past, you know, generations on almost every level of our conscious organization is a big deal. And there's a lot of people that don't think that you have the capacity to heal yourself, but, you know, that's a myth. But so personally, I don't have a problem with medicine. I think that it's a good word that doesn't have to have political or regulatory connotations. So, but anyhow, I just want to say thanks to the room and all that you guys are doing, and hope you're having a great summer, Nicole. Talk to you later. Bye.
Mm. Thank you so much. It's great to hear your voice, Michael. And that what you just shared is particularly impactful because I know that you've been a practicing emergency room doctor. And so to hear the voice, from you kind of as a legitimate medical professional offering this perspective is really, it's really quite special and unique. Thanks for highlighting the DCRM nature organization. There really has been a lot more success in getting some of these things to move through at a local grassroots level, where the special interests come in seem to really be at the state level of implementation. And so anything that we can do to organize ourselves locally as communities, take action. I know DCRM Nature, like they have some things that you, like they have a playbook essentially for how to bring this to your area. And that's not to say that they are, without their own challenges sometimes. You spoke to Michael Pollan's docuseries and he mentioned some of that in the very end. And he also really, I was most impacted by that last one because he really gave credence to some of our, horrible past around colonization and the ways in which, regulatory bodies really came in and forced these children into schooling systems and to things like that. And so I really feel like that framework speaks to so much of what we're looking at. And like, to me, really gives a big why would we want to have some alternatives in place? So great to hear from you, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much for that share, Michael. And I'm going to join you in the appreciation and kudos to DCRM Nature, as well as the appreciation and kudos to Nicole, because I also, as I mentioned at the beginning, had the opportunity to be guided in a retreat by Nicole, which was super impactful in my life. And like you said, she knows why. So we can leave it there. But yeah, so much appreciation for Nicole on many, many levels, and for coming and opening up these conversations. I know, Nicole, you're not popping into the chat, and I appreciate that, because really the point of these rooms is to be present. But there is just so much, so many people just being like, yes, exactly, great, so happy for this conversation. So just want to, just say how impactful it is having you here to be able to share with so many more people your skills and your gifts and your insights and your challenges, actually. So thank you so much. And with that, we are going to move around to last but not least today, Angjoy. Hi, and welcome to the stage. Perhaps. Are you there, Angjoy? Angjoy on sax. Are you off playing sax? I think that's it. I think we are closing up. I don't think Angjoy is going to join us today. So, Nicole, I guess that was my kudos there at the end already. I gave it already. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for joining our room. This conversation, I feel like, was only just a very, very tip of the iceberg of how deep we can get into these conversations, and particularly when we have you leading us through these so courageously and fearlessly and heartfelt. Just so much passion and heartfeltness, if that's a word. So before we finish up for the day, just wanted to pass it over to you to see if there's any sort of summarizing last words that you might like to share with us. And also, I would love for you just once again to tell us a little bit more about your 6-week immersion that's coming up, where people can connect with you,
And, you know, for those people who chimed in maybe a little bit later and didn't have a chance to hear about the immersion and ways to reach out to you.
Yeah, thank you, Dana. I mean, and absolutely, like, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And what we're really doing now is, like, we're planting seeds of possibility. And so take these conversations into your communities with your friends, find the others that you can start to have these conversations, you know, and really not, it's not limited to entheogens and psychedelics, but it's a much bigger conversation about, like, who are we becoming and who do we want to become as a society, and taking that long-term view to really hold that and step in. I mean, I know that there's things that in this space are happening really rapidly, and, you know, that can kind of turn on our flight or flight mechanisms. So, like, let's all just take these collective deep breaths together and come back to our center and come back to our beingness and really just kind of take a stand and hold the frequency for what it is that we're calling in to the collective right now. And so that's my invitation. And then, yes, if you, you know, in terms of the 6 weeks course that I have coming up, Embodied Journey Foundations, as I said, this is really teaching the skill sets, some of the skill sets that I have learned over time as a healing artist for the past 12 years in many different capacities, bringing in my direct experience in guiding others, and to really offering those frameworks and those tools so that you can learn how to do your own best work yourself. I'm not trying to send people off planet to necessarily have a mystical experience. Like, I'm really holding the possibility that the mystical exists inside of you. You are your own best healer. You have that capacity, and the mystical exists on planet, and that is where we are needed right now. And so if you feel called to be part of that, I'm really going to be teaching some useful skills. There will be some information around how to access a fail-proof cultivation method for your own mushrooms. And it will be a container of experience where it's sharing through presentation, through discussion, and then most importantly, sharing experiences and practices for you to take out on your own. And then we reconvene and come together. So there will be this unfolding that happens together as a group. And holding the container is that way, with the intention for you to really be able to continue to do this work on your own, with your families, with your communities, where you already have established relationships. That can be found at theluminousguide.com. If you sign up for email there, you will get notifications. We start on September 11th. For the 6 weeks, and registration has opened now. It's application based, so we will have a brief conversation one-on-one by video. That feels really important to keeping a safe, vetted container. And the lowest rate is available through the end of July. So if you're interested, I'd invite you to go check that out at theluminousguide.com.
Yes, how compelling is that? The link is pinned to the top of the room, people, so there is an easy way to get into that website and get signed up. Even if the course is not on your books, stay in the loop of Nicole and all the wisdom that she shares with us. Thank you so much, Nicole. Haya, over to you before we head off for our weekends. Any last words from you?
Well, just thank you so much, Nicole. I so adore you. I remember us at Rising Consciousness having that one moment when we were in the circle where my eyes were just like filled with tears and we were staring into each other's eyes, and just remembering you holding space in that moment just brings me so much joy, because it was so moving and such a big part of my time at Rising Consciousness. And so I just wanted to thank you for coming and giving Clubhouse a chance with us, and thank thank you to everyone who came to the stage and shared and weighed in on the conversation and had wonderful, beautiful shares, and everyone in the audience who listened so openly and willingly. And I just hope we all have a really great weekend and just full of inspiration and love and spirit. And that is all I got. Thank you.
Yeah, and now that we got you here, Nicole, I hope we can get you back.
Yeah, you know, I have found that I actually really love to share and speak in this way, and it just enriches me so much. My heart feels so full, and Haya, thank you for reminding me of that moment. It's imprinted in my being, and you took me straight to that memory, and yeah, thank you for your trust and your confidence in having me here to share. And may we all be here for the liberation of one another.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, everybody, for being here today with us. Thank you for those who participated and brought your great shares and your wonderful selves to the stage and to this room. I wish everybody an autonomous weekend of being your own medicine, and I look forward to seeing you all back here next week. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Bye.